Hello and welcome to
The Husbandit.
I'm Jimmy.
I'm Ryan.
And we have been doing this for over a month.
This is number six.
Number six.
Yay. And sorry that we're late, everybody. We are just so tired.
It's been a long week. So as most of you know by now, Ryan and I are foster parents, and we are intervening in a case where we are fostering three kiddos. And Monday, we were scheduled to have a mediation, which got postponed to tomorrow. So this week has just been really, we changed our, recording date. And then things also have happened. Kids not feeling well, that kind of stuff. So anyways, just a long week. But I have been kind of exploring ways to declutter our kitchen. That's been my biggest hot button this week, Ryan, is our kitchen.
What about our kitchen?
There's so many freaking dishes. The kids, you, and then nobody picks up after them, like their messes. Nobody picks up after their little messes that they make in the kitchen. And so I'm going to make it to where, like, we have, you and me have one plate or two plates and each and a cup. Like, I'm going to, like, minimal. Like, we're going to be minimalist when it comes to the kitchen. Maybe not the house, but that kitchen. I don't want to see dishes anymore.
I love how you wait till our podcast to, like, express all of these feelings and to tell me all these new things that we're going to be doing.
Well, that way I can update them next week.
Oh,
on, you know, how that is going, how that project is going. But I have been, like, looking at different things, and everybody says when you go to declutter, it's the dishes. Because we as Americans, we think that we need to have all of these plates and all of these bowls because, we got to eat. But there's, like, we have coffee cups and that little thing that you made in our kitchen. So, Ryan, so we have a little section in our dining room area and slash kitchen. And it's, like, in the corner. Ryan's thing is he doesn't like to have, like, any empty wall space. It drives me nuts. Like, if there's, like, an empty space, like, he's got to fill it with something.
That's not true. Look at all of our empty walls because you get on to me.
It's so true. It's so true. And so he did this little cupboard,
It's a coffee bar, Jimmy.
It's a coffee bar, but we don't use it. We had the Keurig. Then we didn't like that. We got a coffee brewer. We don't use that. He now drinks his coffee as y'all have listened to in our previous podcast. He drinks the Stoke coffee that you buy at the store, and that's it. And then, so all of our coffee cups are just, he doesn't even use coffee cups anymore.
What is with you in our coffee cups?
You use the plot, because there's, like, they're collecting dust. And so that's the point, is that we have dishes and things that we don't use in our kitchen that can just go. And so, and the less is better, because guess what? We're training ourselves to wash what we have, and then we have a plate. Like, you get one plate for the day. Wash it. That way you're not leaving your plate. Well, so I'm guilty of this too. So have you noticed that sometimes we'll have a cup or we'll have a plate and we'll eat off of it, say breakfast or whatever. But then we'll just, I'll just throw it in the sink. Comes around like lunchtime, another plate. Dinner, another plate. And then we tried the whole paper plate, plastic plate. That didn't work. Remember all of that? Oh my god. So I'm curious if any other couples out there, I know that they do deal with this, because I was watching YouTube videos today too, and wives were talking about their husbands, and husbands were talking about their wives, their old habits. So, but my biggest thing is Ryan loves to take a cup, use it, and then get a bigger cup for a different kind of drink. While he has the other cup left on
the
sink.
That is not true.
That is true. It's just like with your Nutty Buddy wrappers.
I'm feeling personally attacked today.
It's been that kind of week, guys. It's been that week. They're driving me crazy. Everybody here is driving me nuts. And I'm the guy. I did 3 loads of dishes today. 3 loads. No. Not today. But I mean, I did. That's an over-exaggeration. I did not do 3 loads of laundry.
You just said dishes.
Sorry.
Which one is it, Jimmy? Get your
story. I didn't do the laundry. Dishes. I did 3 loads of dishes. Joking. Now, probably I did two loads of the dishwasher. So, I just hate dishes. I just don't. And then laundry. We got to do laundry. Like, it's becoming more and more evident or apparent that we're going to be dealing with this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
With kids when we eventually adopt.
Yeah.
It's going to be our life.
It's going to be our life forever.
I'm just curious, like, what kind of hacks there are. So, we're going to have a minimalist kitchen. The rest of the house, I don't care about right now. I just don't want to have, like, all those dishes. And then I watched this one YouTube channel, and the lady, she trained her kids how to walk up a little step stool and wash their own dishes. I'm like, and they only had, she only gave each kid 1 plate per day. That's their only plate. They get 1 plate and 1 cup. Oh, you want to eat? You better go wash your dishes, dude. Oh, you're thirsty? Oh, you better go wash your cup. It's got chocolate milk stuck to the bottom of it that's been sitting there in the sink overnight waiting for me. Speaking of other things, I'm curious, what's something I've done this week that's drove you crazy?
You've been very helpful this week.
Hold on, whatever. Hold on, guys. Let me just tell you this. Every couple may look perfect on the outside, but they're not.
What does that mean?
We're not perfect. I think we have a very strong relationship. And the thing is that we're able to admit that, which makes us even stronger. So I'm curious, what is something this week that I've done that's drove you nuts? Because it has. It's been that kind of long week, right?
I don't think there's been anything that drove me nuts this week.
Elbow my back.
Well, I mean, that's just 13 years of experience. So, you know, it's nothing new. He likes me to elbow his back. It's just his thing. Because he gets all these knots in his back.
I hold my stress in my back.
And I don't have very strong fingers. I'm very, like, flimsy in my fingers. Oh, we did get a great Facebook comment.
Look, oh God.
Remember,
she's listening.
So there was a lady on our Facebook because I guess we did a Facebook ad, and she goes, "I hope you're not as stupid as you sound." Well, joke's on you because we are.
We love you though.
Yeah,
yeah. Comment, do whatever. We don't care. We're just doing this because we just love, you know, having this time. This actually, I was looking forward to this week, even though we're late. I'm like, Ryan, we have to do it. Consistency is key, even though we're going to be a little bit late on this.
You guys will just have to forgive us this time because we are so tired.
But I love how Ryan has still not said what I've done that's drove him crazy.
You really haven't done anything outside the norm. I mean, you leave your shoes everywhere and you leave stuff on the bathtub. Like, just your normal stuff. There's nothing new.
Oh, speaking of, I took a bath and, oh, sorry.
Oh, that's the other thing.
Do I say that on the podcast?
I don't know. But you take baths and then you just like get out. You don't really take time to dry off. You just like, there's just puddles of footprints all throughout the house.
I dry off? Oh, I air dry.
You do. And does it's like, you'll just
know that. Do we share this on the podcast? Now the whole podcast people are going to know that I air dry.
They're thinking about you naked.
Hey, but no, that's the best way. It's the best way to dry. So, where were we going with that? Oh, so I was taking a bath, and I don't want to say bath. It just sounds so weird. I was sitting on the couch, and I went to go grab my drink, and I started drinking it. Somebody took and put some kind of paper product into the freaking drink that I was drinking. And as I took a gulp, my mouth just, like, I could feel whatever paper product going through my teeth. I spit it out.
Ew.
All over the couch. I was not taking a bath.
That's so gross.
I was taking a bath. But you can just see it floating in the water, the little brown paper product, looking like little worms. It was so gross.
Ew, I hope it was paper.
It was paper.
Are you sure?
It was like, it felt like toilet paper or something.
Ew. Like a toilet paper roll?
I don't know. Luna or something. So.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, so I'm trying to think what else interesting this week happened.
I think that's it. Just being tired and trying. Yeah. You've been very helpful this week.
How have I been helpful?
You've been kind of cleaning and I don't know. I've just been busy working this week. And
yeah, I've not been as motivated. And I think part of that is because I have a 6-year-old that's home with me all day.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that we did, our oldest and I, we were watching a Disney Channel document. It's like a series on whales. And we were on the last episode and it was talking about the sperm whales. And you know, they're sperm whales because they're like the white stuff that they... Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I just don't know.
Are we as stupid as we sound?
The sperm whale. Hold on one second. So,
I thought I was going first this week, Jimmy.
You are, but I'm going to save my fun stuff to the end. This is an article I was reading about the minimalist kitchen. The Ten Commandments for a Minimalist Kitchen. Ugh. I'm not going to read the article, but I will just tell you what the commandments are. Hold on. So,
wait, there are 10 commandments for
a minimalist kitchen. But I also was watching YouTube videos and stuff because, like, we're doing that starting tomorrow. I think we've done that before, haven't we?
I don't know. Does it mean I have to get rid of my 2 fly guns?
I think we did. Remember with the silverware? We did it and then we couldn't find the silverware. And then your mom came over and like was frustrated because we had no silverware.
I don't remember.
Or the plates. Okay. I know there was a time there where the kids were like, hey, go empty your plates in the trash. And they were throwing the spoons away. We had like a shortage of spoons and forks and we're like, what's going on? And one day we saw our second oldest walking to the trash can with his plate to empty the food out and he just turned the plate over, spoon and all, fork and all, whatever, into the trash can. We're like, okay, that's what's happening.
That's where they went.
Yeah, yeah, he's 5. He's so funny. He's so cute. Oh my goodness. But thou shalt not have more dishes than you need. We got way more dishes than we need. Thou shalt have only the kinds of dishware you used in the last 6 months. There's some stuff we haven't used in years.
True.
Thou shalt keep the kitchen storage holy. Meaning you don't, like, we got, like, fly guns on top of a refrigerator. What else do we got stored?
There's also that little, like, windmill decoration thing that,
yeah,
I don't know why it's even up there.
Yeah, but, like, keeping your storage, like, areas in your kitchen only kitchen stuff, and if it's not kitchen stuff then it doesn't belong.
But you just do what I do and you just hide it in a drawer or in the cabinet.
That's our kitchen storage. You're supposed to keep it holy. God, Ryan. Thou shalt not covet unitaskers. Basically those are like
what's a unitasker?
It's like a tool that can be used for only one task. Should be rare in your kitchen or you'll end up with drawers full of things. If you can't use it, you know, for multiple purposes, then you just need to get rid of it.
There is one thing that I actually use a lot. It's the little ramen noodle cooker thing. You just put it in the microwave for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
That's super handy.
So on the YouTube video I was watching, when they were talking about, like, organizing their kitchen, they're saying with the Tupperware, like, people have too much Tupperware or too much food storage. You don't need it at all. So instead of stacking it, like you take, like, and stack it in each other. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. This is fascinating.
You stack it on top of each other, like with the lid. So you close it up with a lid, and then you stack the other Tupperware on top, and it will reduce the amount of Tupperware you have. Part of maintaining a minimalist aesthetic is regular cleaning. A messy kitchen invites clutter, because the clutter just blends into the mess. It's like when you come home and you just put everything on top of the counter after I cleaned it. Guys, it's been a week. Literally. I think I've got upset
a few times. I'm like, what have I done today? Oh my gosh.
I think I've got upset a few times this week because the damn kitchen counter can never stay cleaned, right? It's not your stuff. It's also the kids. Like, the kids will get up there and, like, they'll play with their toys and they'll just leave it there. Honor thy counters and keep them clear.
This is depressing now.
No, it's not. I'm telling you guys, next week we're gonna be like thriving.
It's not like we're like super messy either.
We're not really messy.
You make it sound like we live in a hoarder house.
No, we're not.
There's actually not that much on there.
No, I would say for the most part, we're clean. It's just we have 3 dogs and 3 kids. Okay, I think you're over this. How many more? Okay, we just got one last one. Sure. So thou shalt not keep disposables or to-gos. The plastic kitty cup from the Happy Meal, the paper-wrapped wooden chopsticks, and the packets of ketchup and soy sauce. Yeah, none are compatible with a minimalist kitchen. Yeah, we don't do that. Anyway, well, that was something like I was looking at a lot of stuff like YouTube and different articles and stuff, but I wasn't really planning on talking about that tonight.
We're all so lucky to learn about minimalist kitchens.
Well, you were talking about Unitools. What we've been up to this week, and that's kind of what I've been looking into.
Yeah.
So, and then sperm whales. Do you know that they nap? They nap.
Like, do they just like float? No, do they close their eyes?
They nap vertical. They will nap vertical in the water.
You're talking about sperm whales, and you're just like, they sleep vertical, like straight up.
Yes.
Attention!
Vertical sperm whales. Let me show you how napping. I gotta show you this. Napping. I want your reaction. That's how they sleep. Isn't that weird? I didn't even know that they nap. Like, I thought fish just stay up at all times.
Was it because their heads, like, are more...
No, it's like napping, and...
But no, they kind of like fall asleep and then just go bloop and then they go straight up.
Yeah, they nap. And it says, back in 2008, a team of scientists from Scotland and Japan literally bumped into a group of sperm whales drifting vertically close to the surface of the water. By observing the whales, the researchers on board found they spend just 7% of their day napping for bursts of about 10 to 15 minutes each time. It's all those deep dives, you know? Because they go very deep. Okay, I'm going to shut up. You're like looking at me. Not everything I say is sexual, Ryan.
I'm pretty sure that's where you were going with that one.
Sperm whales sleeping vertically up. Going down deep. Sorry. All right. Well, Ryan, this should be a good segue into what you're going to talk about today, right?
Yeah.
Which has nothing to do with
what I talked about. That was a lot of ADD today.
Hey, I like had to deal with this all week. Yeah. But you know what? It's all good.
It's all good.
It's all good.
You're like a variety show.
I am. I'm still trying to figure out my part here.
I know. Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, so... this week, I have another mystery for you called The Watcher House.
Bandit banter, y'all! Let's get on with the bandit banter!
We're going to be spending a lot of time at 657 Boulevard. And I say that because I'm going to say it like a bazillion more times. 657
Boulevard. 657
Boulevard. I had to look at my notes to make sure it was
657 Boulevard.
Okay. So in June of 2014,
yeah,
a man named Derek Broaddus, his wife, and 3 kids that were 5, 8, and 10, they were excited to be moving into their new home. Yay. That was their dream home, and it was a 6-bedroom, 4,000-square-foot, $1.3 million house. So, you go, Derek. You go, Glen Coco.
You go.
And the house was built in 1905, and it's in Westfield, New Jersey. This was their dream house. Mm-hmm. Derek didn't grow up wealthy. He had a very modest beginning. And so this was something that he worked hard for. He climbed the career ladder, and then he was a senior vice president at the insurance company mm-hmm. that he worked. So he's like, yeah, we can buy this $1.3 million house now.
How much?
I've said it like three times, Jimmy.
657?
No. $1.3 million.
Sorry, I'm making notes, guys.
On what, my story?
Yeah. That's so I can cute. Keep up with you.
Okay.
Because you share it. All these interesting facts.
You never listen to me.
I know. You please me some of the time.
It's 657, not 676.
Oh, 656. Well, you please me some of the time.
Okay, take
what
better notes.
What movie is that?
The Count of Monte Cristo.
Oh, yeah, that's a good movie.
So they were very excited to be moving into their new home, him and his family. The house was a few blocks away from where Maria, his wife, had grown up. And back in the day, it used to be the suburb to live in. It was like, if you live here, you made it. And the house that they were moving into mm-hmm. used to be the grandest house in all of the land wow. in Westfield, New Jersey. So it was like the place to be. Now, to get the house ready for the family, so they were moving out of their old house and, you know how it goes, transitioning into their new one before the kids and everybody moved over, because you know how fun that would be doing renovations while your kids are there, right? So the dad, Derek, went and was getting the house ready. He was working with the contractors to renovate and doing some painting on the house just to make it all cozy and inviting for his family.
Yeah, welcome.
Welcome.
To your new home where you're gonna die. Did they die?
Well, it's funny that you say welcome to your new home, because that evening on June
that is the pump monster, guys.
So on an evening in June of 2014, Derek Broaddus had completed a night of painting.
Wait, June 2014?
Yeah, it was in June 2014. So it was recent.
Oh, I thought you said it was 1905.
The house was built in 1905.
Oh. I'm like, what is up
with all these? How are your notes coming, well, Jimmy?
I didn't really get the date. I didn't write the date. I just heard 1905. So the house was built in 1905.
Yes.
And Derek bought it in 2014 and was renovating it.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that is okay. Correct.
Thank you for clarifying all that,
Ryan. And his wife's name is Maria.
Anyways.
It was an evening in June of 2014, Derek had just wrapped up another night of painting and getting everything all luxurious and cozy. Is Derek hot? Probably not.
Okay.
So then he went to go check the mail. You know, hey, it's our new address. Let's see if our mail forwarding worked. So he checked the mail, and then there was this white envelope in there addressed to the new owner. And it didn't have a return address. Like, okay. So he opened it to read it. Probably was like, what does this say? This little paintbrush.
Yeah.
Inside was a type letter that started, "Dearest new neighbor at 657 Boulevard. Allow me to welcome you to the neighborhood." It sounds like a really nice welcome note yeah. for the neighbor, right?
You're going to die.
Okay. It doesn't say that. But almost. It says, "How did you end up here? Did 657 Boulevard call you with its force from within? 657 Boulevard has been the subject of my family for decades now, and as it approaches its 110th birthday, I have been put in charge of watching and waiting for its second coming. My grandfather watched the house in the 1920s, and my father watched in the 1960s. And it is now my time. Do you know the history of the house? Do you know what lies within the walls of 657 Boulevard? Why are you here? I will find out. I see you already flooded 657 Boulevard with contractors so that you can destroy the house as it was supposed to be. Tisk, tisk, tisk. Bad move. You don't want to make 657 Boulevard unhappy. God. I asked the Woods to bring me young blood, and it looks like they listened." And it was signed The Watcher.
Wow. Must be like a crazy neighbor that's not happy with all the contractors coming and going.
Maybe. But super creeps.
Yeah.
And the fact that they knew that there was contractors and then young blood. So like,
tisk, tisk, tisk.
Oh my gosh. Are you the watcher?
No.
Okay.
But if we had a neighbor that had all of those like contractors coming and going, making a lot of noise, we'd be like writing letters too.
Shh, people are going to get ideas and start sending us creepy letters. So naturally he called the police after this letter came in the mail. And so the police came to the house, they read the letter and said, "What the fuck is this?" Obviously they were a little weirded out by it too.
Yeah.
Like, who would write this type of letter? Because the writer seemed to know about the Broaddus children, he did reach out to the previous homeowners as well to see if they had received any letters when they lived there. They lived there for about 23 years, so they were there for a hot minute. And supposedly, they received one letter when they first moved into that house 23 years before 2014. I can't do that math very quickly. Again, we're not as smart as
we want. What is it?
Let's not do calculations here on the podcast.
Okay.
But anyway, so they watched their children like hawks after that, which you would assume they would.
Yeah.
If they got out of their sight or they were going too far from the boundaries of the house, they were like, "Get over here!" And I didn't write the kids' names down.
Hold on, wait 1 second. Let me pull up my notes real quick. 1 second. Oh, sorry. I forgot. Oh, sorry. 657 Boulevard. Like, what street is 657 Boulevard? Like, you're talking about, like, them leaving the kids' names out. Like, they left the street name, too. Is that really the name of the street, or is that just...
That's the name of the street. Up?
Okay. And New Jersey people. New Jersey.
New Jersey. Yeah.
Can we Google it?
The Watcher. Stop Googling and listen to my podcast.
Okay, I'm listening. Your podcast. Your podcast. The talent is here.
I know. I'm reading right now.
God.
So they're watching their kids like hawks, and yeah. They went to a neighborhood barbecue, and the kids were you know, running around too. So they're trying to keep an eye on the kids and be like, "Richard, get over here! Dang it, Bertha! Get over here, Biscuit!" So keeping tabs on the kids, like you would hope they would. So then a few weeks went by, and there wasn't anything else happening. There wasn't any other strange correspondence. I mean, I think that letter was enough. Mm-hmm. And then it seemed like things were calming down a little bit, but that's when another letter comes from the Watcher.
It's like the Harry Potter movie. Freaking owls just keep...
Or the owls, yep.
Yep.
Knock, knock. Open up.
Damn Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Stop watching.
Yeah, you Dumbledork. So, the letter says, "The workers have been... busy, and I have been watching you unload carfuls of your personal belongings. The dumpster is a nice touch." Which, pause. Dumpster is a nice touch. Like, a dumpster inside or outside?
Probably outside for construction.
Oh.
Yeah.
God, we are stupid.
Stop.
They found...
We are not stupid. We are smart.
We are kind. And we are important. The dumpster is a nice Have they found what is in the walls yet? In time they will. I am pleased to know your names now and the name of the young blood you have brought to me.
Oh God,
you
scary.
Certainly say their names often. 657 Boulevard is anxious for you to move in. It has been years and years since the young blood ruled the hallways of the house. Have you found all of the secrets it holds yet? Will the young blood play in the basement? Or are they too afraid to go down there alone? I would be very afraid if I were them. It is far away from the rest of the house. If you were upstairs, you would never hear them scream.
Oh, it's so freaky.
Will they sleep in the attic? Or will you all sleep on the second floor? Who has the bedrooms facing the street? I'll know as soon as you move in. It will help me to know who is in which bedroom. Then I can plan better. All of the windows and doors in 657 Boulevard allow me to watch you and track you as you move through the house. Who am I? I am the Watcher, and I have been in control of 657 Boulevard for the better part of 2 decades now. The Woods family turned it over to you. It was their time to move on and kindly sold it when I asked them to. I pass by many times a day. 657 Boulevard is my job, my life, my obsession.
That's just creepy.
And now, you are too, Broaddus family. Welcome to the product of your greed. Greed is what brought the past three families of 657 Boulevard, and now it has brought you to me. Have a happy moving in day. You know I'll be watching.
Oh, God.
Creepy!
Well, they don't have anything else better to do with their time.
No. Like, creepy! When are these packages to 657 Boulevard?
I know, I'm looking at the address. Like, New Jersey? Nope, that's Farmersville. Let's see.
Stop Googling during my stories.
I'm sorry. I'm curious like how far
this is about to be the Husbandit podcast.
The Husbandit. It doesn't have it on there, Ryan. I don't see it.
Okay, well, great.
Okay.
Anywho's, yikes. So, the letter also named the three children, along with their nicknames and their birth order. So, it wasn't in the actual letter online, but yeah, he knew all of their nicknames, he knew their birth order, so obviously he could hear, or she could hear, the kids being called. You know, the parents supposedly were like yelling their names all the time, like, Richard and Biscuit, get over here now!
Wow.
So, that's how, I guess, he learned their names. And then he even mentioned the daughter's easel that was in the back porch of the house that you can't see from the street. You can only see it from the side or the rear of the house. So there was an easel that she set up on the back porch to paint. And so he knew that there was an easel in the back porch. So it wasn't like he's just some creeper on the street. Like,
I'd be like, I would have cameras at every corner.
Oh, yeah. He got pretty obsessed himself and was setting up cameras. And he would, like, sit there and watch them for hours waiting for
Derek
for something to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure we would do.
Yeah.
I don't think we would actually
sit up for hours. But
I was going to say move in. But is this Texas? I mean, you just dropped $1.3 million on that house.
Yeah.
It's like, you can't really just be like, all right, we're not going to move in.
Yeah.
So creepy. They then stopped bringing their kids to the house and paused all renovations and all the construction that the contractors were doing. And a few weeks later, there was another note saying, where have you gone to? 657 Boulevard is missing you. Creepy!
Yeah.
Lord. So this is when the police were investigating and they advised the family not to say anything to the neighbors since they were all considered suspects. And this is where Derek and Maria were really thinking that there was certain neighbors that were very suspicious, and one being the house right next door to them, which would be able to see in the backyard and have more visibility into the house than any of the other houses. That right there is kind of a red flag. Especially that easel that was on the back porch. You know, you'd really have to have a certain angle to be able to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
what about a drone? Like 2014, you have drones.
But I'm sure you would notice a drone.
Not really. I mean, you would hear it, but if they're not home, well, just like see where the easel's at.
Yeah.
Like they're not home all day.
I'm sure they need like hear their names and stuff.
Yeah. Could be a CIA agent.
Mm-hmm.
That's not happy about all the construction going on next door.
Yep. Well, that's why that was one of the things is like, was somebody upset? Whoever was trying to buy the house before them and got outbid, you know, was now doing it to get them to move, or upset that now there's a family that's moving in with their kids. So definitely a lot of theories around there. But Derek was kind of obsessing about the one house that's directly next door that had the most visibility. And this was a home that had been owned by a family, the Langford family, since 1960. It was a woman that lived there in her 90s, and her adult children lived there too, who were all in their 60s. And when Derek was talking to one of the other neighbors, they were talking about how the younger son, Michael, was kind of an odd character. He didn't work. He was a little creepy, a little strange, and was in that house that's right next to their house. So it's like,
Could be him.
Michael's a little creepy, and that's where I'm leaning.
Yeah.
So that's where Derek starts to obsess over, like, it's got to be them. That doesn't make sense for anybody else. Because, I mean, even with all the cameras, I'm sure he would have seen somebody on the street or somebody walking around the house, and there wasn't ever any evidence or anything picked up on the cameras. It had to be somebody that I could see, unless, ooh, this is even creepier, too. It's like, what if there's cameras and listening devices in the actual house?
I'm sure they would have already searched for that and found them if they were.
But he says, have you found what's in the walls yet? Like, what if it's, like...
dead body.
Well, yeah, but what if it's an actual, like, camera or listening, and that's how he hears and sees everything that's going on in there?
Ugh. I'd be reaching out to the former landlords.
Well, they did. They reached out to the previous family that lived there and was like, hey, did you get any strange letters? And so they told them that they had received one letter when they first moved in the 23 years ago, but they just threw it away and didn't think too much of it, and they never got another one, supposedly.
Yeah.
So that's a little suspicious. There was a neighbor, too, that when they were moving in, she said, oh, it'd be great to get some young blood in here. She said young blood. Like, how many times do people actually say that?
Not often.
Not often. Yeah. So that's weird in of itself. There was a woman that said that in passing when they were first moving in. Lots of strange neighbors. It's really like the Desperate Housewives up in there.
Yeah. What?
Did you ever watch that show, The Desperate Housewives?
The New Jersey one?
That's The Real Housewives.
Oh, The Desperate Housewives? No, I've never watched that show.
You don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
It's like one of those things of like, I already know you're not going to do it.
Okay.
But so anyways, back to Michael, the youngest son who is creepy. The police had already investigated Michael when the first letter had arrived. They didn't really pick up on anything. He denied knowing anything. So there wasn't much that happened after that first investigation. The police were not able to help really very much at all, because there was never any cut and dry evidence. I mean, they were getting these letters, but that's about it. There was no evidence. There was no camera footage, nothing that could really actually help a police investigation. Derek, obviously, they were getting very upset and freaked out. So we told the cops that if they didn't take care of the situation, that they were going to have a different kind of case on their hands. And he says, the person attacked my family, and where I'm from, if you do that, you get your ass beat. So
good for him.
Yep. He was a little upset.
Yeah.
And like, this is so creepy. I can't even imagine.
That would not happen here in Texas because people don't carry.
Right? I've got 2 fly guns. Watch out. I'll load them up with salt and I'll come and get you. So Derek then became obsessed with finding the watcher, to the point where he had like documents all over a table. He had a map where he was mapping all the neighbors and had notes on there of like, this person was in earshot, or this person has visibility into this angle. He was going real crazy on mapping this.
Obsessed.
Out.
He was obsessed.
Yeah. Like, he might have even had a wall with the yarn and the push pins and like mapping it all up like they do on the crime shows. He was spiraling a little bit into the obsession of finding out who this creeper is. They called in a former FBI contact that could come in and help find answers. Now, one thing that they noticed is the handwriting on the envelope. So the letters themselves were typed, but on the envelopes, it was handwritten who they were addressing it to. So the FBI felt like the handwriting seemed to belong to an older person because it had little ticks in the letters, you know, kind of an older style
that
of writing.
That older lady that said.
Maybe. It was weird because there were just these aspects of the letters that came across like an old-fashioned way of writing.
Yeah.
Now, nothing was conclusive on any of the things that they found with the FBI, with the police. Derek was convinced that it was the Langfords, that house next door with the elderly folks. And so he demanded that the police reinvestigate Michael Langford. And when that didn't really lead anywhere, he brought his own attorney and had all the Langfords together and went through all the evidence that he found about why it's Michael. And I guess that didn't turn out very well either.
Yeah.
So
I wouldn't. understand why it would turn out.
Right? Yeah. It just sounds so promising.
Yeah.
They hired a PI as well who did identify two sex offenders that were close to the neighborhood, but still no evidence, no signs or traces of anybody that would be leaving these letters and who the watcher could be. Then in December, the family decided to sell the house. So about 6 months later, we out. You know, we can't deal with just living in constant stress and fear of whoever this person may be. So they decided to sell the house at a loss. And because of the reputation of the house at this point, obviously nobody was buying it. Like, who wants to move in there and start getting creepy letters from the
watcher? Well, you can just throw the letters away.
Well, yeah, but I think it was on the news and...
Whoa.
Yeah, nobody's going to want to live there. So nobody was buying that house, that $1.3 million house, to get some letters from the watcher. They did end up finding somebody to rent the house that seemed like they didn't care. They're like, cool, you know.
Discount.
Discount.
Discounted rent.
Yeah, it's probably heavily discounted at that point. So remember, this is 2014.
Okay.
One of the other things that they tried is to get approval to demolish the house and to repurpose the land. So it was naturally denied. Like, what else can you use that land for? It's in the housing division. They received another letter after that because they pissed off the watcher.
Oh, God.
And it said, maybe a car accident, maybe a fire, maybe something as simple as a mild illness that never seems to go away, but makes you feel sick day after day after day after day after day. Maybe the mysterious death of a pet. Loved ones suddenly die. Planes and cars and bicycles crash.
Yeah.
Bones break. So he wasn't very happy about...
The watcher was not he or she, because you don't know.
He or she. Not happy about potentially demolishing 657 Boulevard. They ended up renting the house again in 2017, and that's when the renter received a letter. You wonder who the watcher is? Turn around, idiots. Maybe you even spoke to me. One of the so-called neighbors who has no idea who the watcher could be. Or maybe you do know and are too scared to tell anyone. Good move. I walked by the news trucks, and when they took over my neighborhood and mocked me, I watched as you watched from the dark house in an attempt to find me. Telescopes and binoculars are wonderful inventions. 657 Boulevard survived your attempted assault and stood strong with its army of supporters barricading its gates. My soldiers of the boulevard followed my orders to a T. They carried out their mission and saved the soul of 657 Boulevard with my orders. All hail the Watcher.
Crazy. Find a way to get somebody to sell their house so you can buy it for cheap.
True.
Yeah.
Very true.
Not that I'm, you know, encouraging anyone to do that, but that's just crazy.
Very. And so in 2015, another thing
disturbing. It's very disturbing. Let's use some other words so we sound smarter, though.
It's very... Oh, I can't think of
a big word. We need to expand our vocabulary.
It's very onomatopoeia.
So, like, you gotta go pee?
No.
Okay.
Oh, God. Jimmy, you just ruined my big word that didn't make any sense with a pee joke.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I'm lost.
Well, that's because you keep getting away from the story. In 2015, they sued the previous owners of the house, or they tried to sue the previous owners of the house by saying they didn't disclose the information that they received a letter from the watcher. Now, the judge threw it out. Because, I mean, who would know that this would be happening?
Yeah.
There was also a theory that they were sending the letters themselves to try and get out of...
You have a lunatic writing letters. House. Some lunatic, probably within the neighborhood, is watching your house and is writing you letters.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a theory that they were sending the letters to get out of the house because...
I don't know if you can hear that, but Percy, our dog, is drinking water and his little collar is hitting the Yeah.
Okay. There was a theory that they were sending the letters to get out of the house. A lot of the theory was around the fact that they probably couldn't afford the home.
Mm-hmm.
Because their previous houses were between like $175,000 and $300,000. But they went from that to like $1.3 million is kind of a jump. But who knows? Like, their finances ain't your business.
Yeah.
I don't think you would go through that much work to try and get out of the house. I mean, who's going to let you out of the house? Nobody. You bought it. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just say, oh, I'm getting creepy letters. Let me out of my lease. Like, you're in a mortgage. You can't get out of it. So I don't think that one is realistic. Now, that was 2014 when they bought and moved in.
Mm-hmm.
As of July of 2019, they finally sold the house.
Yay.
Yay! They finally sold it with a loss of only $440,000. So, wasn't that
they
bad?
Bought it for $1.3 million.
Yep.
Yeah, that's bad.
Wasn't that bad? But honestly, like, who could blame them? Shoot, I'd be out $1 million. Just not great. The new owners have not been identified, so we don't know if they've reported or received any letters. It seems like they're trying to stay out of the limelight for now. But 657 Boulevard has other plans. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, Netflix actually won the rights to their story.
Okay.
And as of this year, it was announced that they are working on a limited series.
Nice. For Guardians. We have to watch that.
Mm-hmm. Similar to the American Horror Story. And it sounds like it's the same producers as Paranormal Activity.
Oh, that first one was so scary.
So scary. I could not sleep for like months.
Well, it wasn't really scary for me because I just like laughed. But you and Blaine and Caprice, y'all like were not sleeping at all.
Well, it was one of those where it was not scary when we watched it. I'm like, okay, that was not scary. And then I was totally fine for a while. And then all of a sudden, just randomly, I woke up like early one night. And then it was a good month or two after that. I was so freaked out. Yeah, I don't like scary movies.
Yeah. Don't really get scared.
I don't like the imagery. People like crawling up walls and stuff like that.
Yeah, the stuff that bothers me is whenever it's just like Michael comes from behind, like surprises you. You don't know he's there or he's going to come from behind and then slits somebody's throat or breaks their neck. Like, it's like, oh my God, run. But like, why? Like, it's like you hear a sound. Why are you walking towards the sound when you know there's going to be a crazy man right there with a knife? Run, run, run. But keep running. Don't stop and try to hide because you think that you're safe. You're not safe.
And you're going to trip. You always trip in movies.
You get back up and you keep running. You run and you run and you find a stick. You find a metal bar. You freaking, or some kind of tool, you know? So when he does come out from behind, you just pop him really good.
You have been planning this for a while. I will say that going to scary movies in the movie theater when it's like a crowded movie theater is my favorite. Because then it's not as scary. And I love it when people are like, girl, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I love it so much. So I'm like, I just want to sit by a bunch of loud people in those kinds of movies. Because
like the movie Scream. Why did she not go upstairs? Why did she stay downstairs? Why did she not go get her dad's gun out of his drawer?
If you go upstairs, she'd be stuck.
Yeah, but she can get on the roof. Like, they're on the first floor.
I never saw it, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, this was fun.
Yeah.
Now, I know you were, like, last week, you were like, oh, we have to end on a positive note. Yeah. And now you're talking about, like, getting slit throats by Michael.
Yeah. Whenever I was working, a long time ago, though, we would get this envelope every month with the same handwriting, like it would be addressed to the property, and then it would be in all caps, no return address, just a small envelope. We'd open it, and it would be like one of those little leaflets that you need Jesus now, and all. But then on the back of it is, accept Jesus or burn in hell eternally, or for eternity.
Yikes.
Yeah. But we would get it every month on the same day. Every month.
Huh.
So, and typically it was around the time that rent was due. So it's like, repent and accept Jesus now, or you will burn in hell for all eternity.
By the way, here's my rent check.
Yeah. But then I went to another property, and it's like that same envelope followed me to that property. So it's like they were writing all of the properties that company owned.
Or they knew that you moved and now we're sending it to that address.
Weird. Yeah.
That is so
weird. But we get every month. We always wondered who it was because it was in all caps. You will burn it in hell for all eternity.
Gosh, that's so creepy.
Yeah. We're Presbyterian, yo.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for that commercial break.
Yeah.
Bandit banter, y'all.
You know what else happened this week?
What?
We both forgot our wedding anniversary again.
See, that's because you celebrated the day that we got married when I celebrated the day we met.
No, we never celebrated. That's why we never remember when it is. But I set a calendar thing on my phone. So it always tells me the day before. It's like, hey, tomorrow is wedding anniversary. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's tomorrow?
Yeah.
And then I forget. And then something comes up that makes me remember it. And I'll just text you out of the blue and say, happy anniversary. Because I want to be the one to remember.
Because we celebrate the day that we actually met, mm-hmm. which is December 3rd.
I was like, oh, do you not remember that either?
Yeah, no, December 3rd. And so the reason, so one day we're going to do an official, like a whole big ceremony, whole big thing. But the reason, I think last time we got married, you want to tell them the story, how that happened?
I mean, last time we got married.
Oh, sorry.
It sounded like it's been
multiple times. Yeah, no. So from 2000, was it 2015, right? When it became legal?
I don't know.
So we had been together since 2007. Before it became legal, I'm a veteran. Most people, I don't know if I share that with everybody, but I am an Army veteran. And served overseas in Iraq. So I had, you know, my benefits of being a veteran is I have a VA loan. Well, unfortunately, Brian was not recognized as my legal spouse. The Army would not recognize them, or the VA would not recognize them as my spouse. And they would not allow me to take out a VA loan with Brian on it as my legal spouse. So we waited for a year. That was in 2014. 2015 becomes legal. And I'm like, Brian, we're getting married. And then a year later, we bought a house with the VA, the VA benefit. But it's just like, it was more of a necessity at the time because we already have been together, right? Since 2007.
Yeah.
So, but it was like, you were out of town working and I just called you up and said, or did I text you?
I think you texted me.
I said, hey, when you get back, we're getting married.
So romantic.
No, but for real though, we will be having a big ceremony. We'll be doing something more special. You know, we'll see what happens. We, you know, are able to adopt and love to have a big party and also, you know, celebration of us being married. You know, just of us, period.
Plus, we need a new last name, so.
I don't even know what our last name is going to be. The Fitzgerald, like Scandal.
The Husbandits. I'm Ryan Husbandit.
The Banters.
I'm Ryan Banter.
Ryan Banter. Well, thank y'all so much for listening. We have received 5-star reviews this week. Yep. We got 3 more
this week.
Yeah.
Ratings and reviews. Even if you don't want to say anything super nice about us, you can just choose like 5 stars,
great,
and leave it at that. Don't give us any negative.
On Apple Podcasts and on Spotify, you can actually like us. That's what they do on Spotify. It's like you like or subscribe.
I don't know.
I looked it up.
Did you?
Yeah.
Look, you did some research.
Yeah, no, I looked it up. It's like, how do they like give you a review? So you can actually like us there and like or subscribe. I think it's like
if they love us, they'll figure it out.
Yeah. So if you don't love us,
then it's good that you don't know how to do it.
No. Yeah. So we really enjoy doing this though. I get to vent about the kitchen.
That was the highlight of my evening.
I know. Ryan gets so upset because I'll just be like, the kitchen, blah, blah, blah. And he'll be like,
listen, I'm busy and I don't have time to pick up my Nutty Buddy wrappers.
Or you'll be...
Or my Kool-Aid wrappers!
Or what now? What did I do now?
What did I do now? No, that's been my latest thing of just, like, guilt trip you.
Yeah. I'm like, whatever.
What now? I'm sorry I'm not perfect.
Yeah. Well, we love everybody that's listening. Thank you guys for listening. I think that's a wrap. Have a great
We're going to go sleep week. Horizontal. Oh, yeah. Wait, vertical.
Vertical.
We can't do anything right. What now, Jimmy?
We'll be laying horizontal, but something Don't. Else will be laying vertical. No. Our little sperm whales.